Well, this morning we come to the end of a series. We have spent some time over the summer in the Psalms, and so we're wrapping that up today. But today is a day of celebration. As you heard at the beginning of the service, this is Celebration Sunday. It's a Sunday that we pause every year and look back over a ministry year and thank God for things that He has done among us and rejoice and praise Him for who He is and how He has manifested Himself to us. That's what we want to do. And so we're going to do something a little bit different. This Psalm 98 is broken up into three stanzas of three verses each, and each of them give us reason to praise God for what He's done and who He is, and then a particular reason of who He is. But as we praise the Lord, one of the best ways I know how to help you sort of join in together as a community to praising God is by inviting you to do so. So the sermon is going to be a little weird today. I'm going to preach about a couple of verses in this psalm, and then I'm going to invite someone to come share a testimony. Then I'm going to preach a couple more verses of the psalm. I'm going to invite somebody else to come and share a testimony, and those people know who they are, so don't worry. I'm not going to call upon you. And unless we want to be spontaneous, we ought always to have a reason for praising the Lord. And then finally, three more verses and somebody else to come and share. But God has done some wonderful things over this past year. It's been quite remarkable, all that God has done. And so we want to praise the Lord. So let me just read the first three verses. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm have worked salvation for Him. The Lord has made known His salvation. He has revealed His righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered His steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the earth, all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Sing to the Lord a new song. That's part of God's command for us, is to find new ways of expressing praise to God. Many of us don't like new songs. I want the old ones. I listen to the old ones. I know the words to the old ones. I don't look stupid when we sing the old ones. I've got all that down, so I don't want to add anything new. But yet here we see the psalmist encouraging a people to praise the Lord with a new song. I don't know if you discovered this or you knew this. As we've been going through the book of Psalms, I didn't realize how the breadth of the collection of the Psalms, how deep it was. Do you know the oldest psalm in the book of Psalms was written? You know who it was written by? Anybody? It's not David. Moses. Psalm 90 is the oldest psalm. Moses lived at about 1400 BC. The latest psalm is Psalm 126, which was, it's a post-exilic song, so it's a song that was written after the nation was restored back to the promised land. So they've gone into exile, then they have returned. It's a song of praise that God has restored the fortunes of the nation, which happened somewhere in the late 500s, early 400 BC. The book of Psalms covers 1,000 years. There are psalms that are continually added to this collection that we have before us over 1,000 years. Do you know what that means? There were lots of new psalms that were sung along the way. Fresh expressions of God's goodness in people's lives. That tells us this is the hymn book of the nation of Israel in God's redemptive work as He worked through an entire nation. And so we ought always to find new songs, new ways of singing praises to a God who has done incredible things for us. That's the reason that we see in Psalm 1. Why should we sing new songs? Why? For He has done what? Marvelous things. So, application for us. Has God done marvelous things for us? Ought we then always to find new ways of singing praise to the Lord? Yes, we want and can embrace old songs, but yet we also have to have our arms open wide to new songs and fresh expressions of love and praise to the Lord. For every generation needs to have its own songs and hymns so that those praises can be authentic to the Lord. But here we have a wonderful encouragement. For his right hand, his holy arm, has worked salvation. The Lord has made known his salvation and revealed it in the sight of the nations. What is he talking about? He's talking about deliverance out of Egypt. When he goes back, and salvation here does not mean eternal life provided through Christ. It means deliverance from oppression in the nation of Egypt. It means freedom. It means physical freedom. We were slaves among the nation of Israel, and God worked salvation. He delivered us from slavery and brought us into a place of freedom. He remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness in verse 3 to the house of Israel. Exodus 2:24 says, God heard their groaning. God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God saw the people of Israel, and he knew. This psalm points to the deliverance of a nation. For us, we also know that Christ is our Passover lamb. We living on this side of the gospel have a new kind of deliverance. We don't just have freedom of body from physical oppressors. We have freedom of soul from spiritual oppressors, from the enemy who would keep us bound under slavery to sin. Jesus has set us free. So we have even more reason to praise him for not just a physical deliverance, but a spiritual one also. We have many reasons to praise him. But today, we have great reason to praise him for the marvelous things that he has done in this house. This first verses here point to the fact that God remembered the house of Israel. And I want to make a very strained connection to this little house in which we worship the Lord in Winchester. Because God has, over the past year, done some pretty amazing things in this place. And some of you might not remember what this little house used to look like. Along the way, the process through the renovation of this little building, I was running around snapping pictures from the first day till the last day. And this little transformation that we have seen in this little house has been quite astounding. So in a moment, I'm going to invite Dave and Sandy to come up and share what the Lord has laid on their heart to share. But before we do that, let's just remember, what did this place look like?
So that was pretty, where are you? That was pretty awesome to see that transformation. I was telling Todd just before the service this morning that while this space has just been amazing and remarkable, the one thing that we were talking about this week was how the teaching here has always been solid. And that's the one thing that didn't need to be changed and hasn't changed. So we're really pleased with that. But this space has kind of caught up with the rest of what we're doing here at Hope, right? The reaching out, the reaching in, the reaching up. And what I love about the space out here is the opportunity for us to have meaningful conversations with each other. Prior to this, if we were standing and handing out a bulletin in the morning, we'd have a line forming behind us if we had just a few extra minutes to speak with someone. Now there's space to sit down and talk with each other, pray with each other, build little pyramids with the creamers out there even. So we have coffee, which we are looking to have for a long time, fellowship time with each other, and just the wow factor when people come in. And it definitely enhances their worship experience when they're welcomed into this beautiful, big, vast, open space. And they can come in and just feel so free to worship. So that's kind of been my reflection on this space.
Okay. Your turn. Well, I remember back in 2013, there was a group of us gathered right here in these seats, and we prayed about this renovation, and we talked about the renovation, and we realized how massive this renovation was going to be, but we really felt God was behind it, and we prayed, and it was presented to the congregation, and the congregation was just so overwhelming. They just loved the idea, and they gave money, and it reminded me of the Old Testament story of Moses, where he wanted to build a tabernacle, and he asked for money and materials, and eventually they had so much they had to tell him to stop. I don't think we're there yet, though. But that's what happens when people give. That amazing things and transformations happen. And for me, the excitement for me was to come each week. I know you guys were here every single day, and that was really amazing to watch. But we used to come in every week and say, what did they do this week? You know, you'd see the doors up, you'd see the walls painted, and behind us used to be this window that had the oldest curtain I've ever seen. And that was gone. They put a wall. There's still a window there, but it's no longer seen. But I think, like Sandy said, it's just so welcoming now to see. I know we had a Monday-Thursday service here in that room right there, and it was just so amazing. We have so much area now, and we just have a wonderful congregation and just a great place to worship. And God is here.
Yeah.
Amen.
Thanks. Appreciate that. One of my prayers throughout this whole process has been that God would use this place for people to connect with the Lord and feel at home, feel welcomed. And all of that came to a head on Town Day when I was in here welcoming people as they would come in. And, you know, this used to be a Knights of Columbus building. I don't know if you guys know this, but there are a lot of people in this town who had many functions here. They came to Boy Scout meetings here. And in fact, a couple of people who came up the steps on Town Day, walking in here, looking in, said, "I got married in that room in there. And this is fantastic." But the one word probably four or five people used was, "This is so welcoming." That's our goal. We want the physical space in which we worship to feel welcoming so that people can feel welcomed by God, right? We know people aren't going to come to Christ by looking at a building, but a space has something to say about the Lord that we worship. And so we want all of the glory to go to the Lord because He's given us this space right in the center of town to continue to be a light for the gospel in sharing the good news, serving people, reaching out in 100 different ways. And so that's our dream, and for that we want to praise the Lord. And so moving on to verse 4 in Psalm 98, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and sound of melody, with trumpets, the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King." So I think that says we have a little room to add to our brass section. We could add a few strings. We could magnify the Lord in a little bit of a different way. But here, the reason to sing praise to Yahweh, this is the Lord. You know that the singing praise to Yahweh is because He's the King of all the earth. He is the King of all the earth, and He rules over all. And so our desire to keep reaching out has been part of a prayer that we have continued to pray. And one of the blessings of this past year has been the fact that new people have joined. We have had good connections with new families. I'm going to invite Jonas to come up. Jonas and his family went through a long period of discernment, and the Cummings came and landed, and their whole brood, and they have been such a blessing. So Jonas, would you share?
So yes, I'm Jonas Cummings. My wife is at the ladies' retreat, so she's not here, Heather. I do have four daughters, so the whole group of us came here about a year ago, and the whole process for us started about 3 years ago. Lord had kind of been poking and prodding at us when we were going to church there, and I guess I take a long time to make some decisions. But we kind of took that first year just to pray about it and really trying to figure out what was going on, whether it was just, you know, just try and pray about it and get some peace about our decision. So thankful for the Lord that, you know, not only has God sent His Son to die for us, to just to unconditionally love us, but these small things, not only does He give us His Word, but places where we can worship. And, you know, we had this prodding that, you know, maybe we should be somewhere else. So that was 3 years ago. We came here that next summer and visited some other places as well. But something kind of stuck out here. Not sure what it was exactly, but I still wasn't ready to make a decision. So continued to pray about it, and another year passed by. So now this is about a year ago, and we kept talking about hope. So we decided to come back. Again, this was last summer. I said, well, let's give it a good test, you know, 4, 5, 6 weeks, and just pray about it and see how things go. And here we are a year later. We just never stopped coming. We are very thankful to be here, excited that God has led us here, literally excited, a little embarrassing, but, you know, from what I had in the past, just, you know, going to church was kind of, started to be like checking a box, you know. I did this, I did that. I went here, I read this, I did, you know, and And now, you know, sometimes, you know, it's a tough week, and it's a Thursday, it's a Friday, and I'll say to my wife, well, at least we can go to church on Sunday, you know. So definitely excited to be here. One thing that I've been specifically blessed by is that there seems to be a big focus on my relationship with the Lord. So whether it's in a church service here on Sunday mornings, or whether it's in a small group, whether it's at the men's retreat, or whether it's just talking to friends that I've met, I'm not really used to that. And so I'm very excited. I've been blessed by that, you know, it's about my relationship with the Lord and not all the outside factors, but how, you know, how am I? Sorry, I'm so nervous. My voice is like trembling. But very, very thankful for that. It's been a huge blessing for me and for my wife. Also, when we were visiting here, talking to some of the elders, the pastor, one thing that I was very blessed by was that they wanted to pray with me that, gosh, I got to settle down here. They wanted to pray with me that the Lord's will would be done, whether it's come here or let's go somewhere else. And that was a huge blessing to me. And that kind of sealed the deal. And thanks.
It's okay. Thanks, Jonas. Well, Jonas, you've been a blessing to us since you've come, and your whole family and your girls too. The last three verses in Psalm 98. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands and the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, for Yahweh, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the people with equity. Sing praises to Yahweh for all of creation, for he is judge. This points to singing praises to God for who he is. We've seen singing praises to God for what he's done. He's the king of all the earth. He's made salvation visible to the nations. He's demonstrated his hand. We've seen Christ. Jesus wasn't crucified in a corner. Remember Paul said to King Agrippa, you know everything that's happened in Jerusalem, and you know all that's unfolded about Jesus as the Messiah. Right? God intends the gospel to be displayed so that the world can be seen. God intends our faith to be on display, for us to be seen. We are intended to be a light. And this connection with all of the earth singing, let all of creation rejoice, is an invitation for the created world to rejoice in who God is. So not only is he bringing people who take long times to make decisions, that's great, prayerfully praying through what the Lord is doing, that's exactly what we ought to do. We ought to be convinced that God is moving in our lives and only move when he has moved us. And yet here, this little church, we want to be a light that is seen on display for all of the world to see. Whoever's watching, we don't want our faith to be hidden. The gospel wasn't hidden. Jesus wasn't hidden. All the nations can see. And we want all of the nations to see what's happening here as the gospel shapes our lives. And one of those blessings is that if you look around you, God has brought people to this little church from all over the world. People born from so many different countries. Look around you at people from every part of the world. Not just every part of this country, but multiple countries. And God has a place for the gospel to be on display, to be seen. And so I thought of, as another person, an example of this. I thought of the Radovans, right? And Michelle happens to be here. I thought she was going to be away. But John is in the military. He's traveled the world. He's been in different nations. He's been a part of God's people around the globe. And so long decision to Cummings, quick decision for the Radovans. So come, John and Michelle, and share whatever the Lord has laid on your heart to say. Or come just John, whatever makes you comfortable. I'm glad you're here, Michelle. I didn't know if you would make it or not, but that's great.
So, like Todd said, I guess we moved here last July from the island of Guam. And so this is our fifth move together as a family and for the military. So, you know, how we found out about the church is we were at a Christian conference, and we said, hey, we just moved to the area, and we moved to Boston. We're in Orlando. It's like, anybody know any churches? And one of the guys, Nathan, was there, Rittenhouse. He's not with us anymore, but he's like, hey, there's this good church. You should come check it out, Hope. So we had, like the Cummings, we had gone to maybe six or seven different churches in the area. And right when we got here, Ian, you know, met us at the door. And he said, hey, you know, welcome. And the first thing I was like, he's like, well, what are you looking for in a church? Doctrine. That's the most important thing in community. And like Jonas said, just being able to kind of like, we sat downstairs and he sat at the table. I think there was food and just talked over and we felt so welcomed and stuff. So when Todd approached me this week and said, hey, we talked about testimony, you know, we're praying about it and just talking with Michelle and we're talking about, we've been through a lot this year. We talked about praising God through pain was one thing we wrote, uncertainty and then goodness for God's church. And as I woke up this morning, I was praying and, you know, God, what do you want us to, want me to say while I'm up here? And realized, oh, it's September 11th. I said, well, that's ironic. We're giving praises on the anniversary of such a horrible event. But I read an article this morning on by Ravi Zacharias, and I just want to read an excerpt on it because I think it's very relevant. He says, the examples of Israel and of Peter are repeated endlessly in our own experiences. We have a limitless ability to trust God only when it suits our purpose. Rather than allowing God to be God and serving him for who he is, we actually try to play God and become our, and he becomes our subject, expected to do our bidding at every whim. I don't know of any greater fickleness in the human heart than this. We lie to ourselves after a miraculous event, believing it will have staying power, but the moment another steep hill approaches before us, we wonder whether the miracle we witnessed sometime back actually happened or is only a delusion. Reality is threatened by this fickleness. If we don't understand and accept this, we live in an illusionary world of chronic skepticism. Our demand for more information is, in a real sense, a fight against our finitude. You know, we started this year and we said, God, we want this year to be for you. Not on our own understanding, our own strength. We want this to be your year. So what happens? He kicks out all of our own, our strength that we had. So I woke up after Christmas and I couldn't move. My whole neck was locked up. And just came out of, I've had back problems before, but I'd never just woken up. And I woke up stiff and I first thing I did was start yelling at my wife, waking her up. I can't move. And she had to get me out of the bed and we went to the ER. And you know, the doctors weren't sure what was going on. A lot of people know I had degenerative disc disease in my whole cervical spine. And there was a time where I thought that I was not going to be able to stay in the military anymore. I'd done 14 years and I couldn't move. And then in the middle of that, Michelle goes in for a routine appointment and they x-ray her and they find almost a 1-inch lump on her lung. So now I'm going through back pain thinking I'm going to be out. Michelle thinks we had to wait 3 or 4 days for the prognosis. Thank God that it came out to be benign. But through all the pain, the church here in the prayer and being able to call up Todd or even talk to Dave and have that prayer to help strengthen us through. And, you know, we say praise God through the pain was one of the things we saw. And through these events, we forget that you know, God is there, and he's sovereign. So we went through back issues, health scare. This last year, we even had a miscarriage. But God, our relationship with God was just deepened, deeper than it's ever been for both of us. The other thing was through uncertainty. I had my military uncertainty. Also, some of the folks were praying. There was mandatory training on mindfulness and mindfulness, meaning making, and meditating. And I got up in the middle of the training, and just walked out just because I couldn't believe that they were trying to force these beliefs on me in the military. And so I thought I was going to get in trouble, and I didn't get in trouble. So then I was praying, and God's like, you should sign up to be a trainer for this training so that you can talk from a position of authority on why the training is bad. So then I went to the training class. I almost got kicked out. I actually was up at like 3 in the morning and emailed Todd and a few other people, said, pray for me. This is tough. And they backed off that day, and they let me get certified. And what it does is it now allows me to kind of have a say on how the training is conducted and kind of have a seat at the table now that God's working through. Michelle was looking for a job. Through all of this, we trusted on God. That's why I go back to through the pain and the uncertainty is we trusted God and we praised him even though we were going through these things. And he brought us through. He got Michelle the job. Yeah. We said, God, we want a job where they're going to let her to go. So we go to this Christian conference, October. So we want immediate time off. We want to only work during the days so we can do childcare. And Michelle went in and said these things, and they said, okay, fine. And they added even more money. We didn't even ask for, what they were going to pay her an hour. But we trusted God throughout that process. And the last thing is goodness in God's people in the church. And we both were talking on the way over here. You know, one of my favorite quotes is by Gypsy Smith. He says, there are 5 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the Christian. Unfortunately, most people will never read the first 4. And I think the biggest blessing for us to get us through all this pain and uncertainty this last year was meet people like Todd, Ian, Dave, Anthony, the Chamberlains, to where that gospel, you can see it in them and who they are and that kind of stuff. And that's why we're giving these praises today, is because it strengthens our walk and it brings us deeper. So I wanted to close. I was reading on the card over here. Paul, when he addresses his letters in the Corinthians, he talks about he gives thanks for them and how it strengthens him, and he's so happy for them. I think that's our biggest prayer as we're talking and coming over here, is we thank God for the church. We thank you for his people. Thank you for the leadership of the elders of this church, because, we wouldn't have gotten through this if it wasn't for all the prayer that was going on in the background and the conversations that were had on the side. So we're extremely thankful and grateful for just being part of this community. Mm-hmm. So thank you.
Yes. So sing praises to the Lord. Praise him for the wonders that he has done. He has worked salvation in our sight, in the sight of the nations. All of the earth has seen what God has done. We want to praise the Lord again and again and again. We want that to continually be part of our lives. I know every one of you could stand and share a reason that you could sing the praises of God for all that he has done in your life. Many of you have stories that are yet to be told. Many of you are working through things that you would want to share, and one day we'll have the opportunity to share. And we have a God who is near to us. That is the one thing that stands out here as we sing praises to Yahweh. He comes. He comes to his people. He redeems. He delivers. And ultimately, one day, he will stand as the judge. Part of the good testimony that we have is that there is a way to avoid the judgment of God, right? This psalm praises God that he comes to judge all of the evil that's coming in the world. And we have the gift to participate in helping people understand the gospel, that there is a way to escape God's judgment. We can say this good news that God provided a way of salvation. That is both seen in history. But John is right to say, is that lived out in our lives? Is the gospel seen in us as we walk this world, as we demonstrate our lives? Is the gospel of Christ demonstrated in how we live our lives? That's our calling. We are a church here to be a living testimony to the truthfulness of Scripture in this world. That God's word changes his people, and then his people work to change this world. And that we want to praise the Lord for. So we want to praise God for how he has worked. So I'm sure there are things that have come to mind I just want to invite you just for a moment, just to pray silently and give thanks to the Lord. Would you just think back over this past year? What would you praise Him for all that He has done, the marvelous things that He has done? That's one aspect of praise in this psalm. Number two, it's who He is. Praise Him for who He is. He is the King of all of the earth. And then lastly, praise Him specifically that He is judge, but He is also the very Savior who came in the form of flesh in Christ in order to deliver us from that judgment, which He Himself is going to execute. Let's pray together. I'll just give you a few minutes to pray to the Lord, to praise Him. So in your heart, just close your eyes. Ask the Lord to bring to mind things that you can sing His praises for. And then just thank Him quietly to yourself.